start, I guess, with an update on Ha-Seong Kim. If he's had his MRI, what are the results? Where does he stand?
We have had the MRI. We're still working on getting the results and getting them evaluated. So I don't want to be announcing anything that's too early. It is more favorable initially, but I say that with caution because I've done this a while, and you know, sometimes the imaging comes out and it's like, it looks pretty good, and people get really excited expecting to be able to play tomorrow. And then you come back and you get further imaging, and then you get second opinions, and then you get another image. It's deeper because it sees something better or clearer, and it shows up something that can be alarming. So all I can tell you is literally 10 minutes ago, I get a little bit of information that I'm sharing in real time with you that seems to be mostly favorable, but there's zero timeline to it, other than, you know, could always be a lot worse, and initially fairly pleased what it looks like, but still gathering information.
Okay, so who on this show said that Mike Schilt would give us a rundown on Ha-Seong Kim today, and we would really not know a whole lot more than we knew before?
I believe it was me, Chris.
I think that was something that I said,
yes,
actually.
Yes, I think it was.
Yes, it was. There was Mike Schilt. If you can make heads or tails of that, then you know what's the matter with Ha-Seong Kim. We know he's not playing tonight. That's really about all Mike Schilt was willing
to
share.
He did go on to say that he's not available.
He's not available to pinch hit tonight. He's not playing tonight. But as far as what the MRI showed, I could not make heads nor tails, about what Mike Schilt said there. It was just a bunch of gobbledygook. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not ripping Mike Schilt. This is what all baseball teams and all coaches and all sports now do.
Well, you can't.
They will not tell us anything
because they cannot commit to anything they are not 100% on, or else their feet will be held to the fire.
But I believe they are 100% on it. That's my point. I believe that.
Don't you think they would make a move though if there was something that was bigger?
Make a move?
Yeah, wouldn't they put him on the IL immediately, call someone up if he was actually out?
I don't know. They might hold out for more information. Maybe another take another picture tomorrow.
Some more imaging.
Take some more imaging. Try to get a more. He said it was a very favorable image. Couldn't have been that favorable. The guy's not at all available to play tonight. It's not Mike Schilt. It's not the Padres. It's baseball. It's football. It's basketball. Nobody will any longer share with us really any succinct injury news. We don't get it. We can't get it. So we just have to kind of make it up ourselves. I don't know how long Ha-Seong Kim's going to be out, either to you. Apparently, neither does Mike Schilt. But I really find that hard to believe.
You know, as a guy
I just do. It's too important. It's too darn important. The guy got hurt yesterday. This is almost 24 hours later. Ha-Seong Kim's health is really important to the, you know, near immediate future of the Padres. I really believe that they have found out what's going on and made it a huge priority to do so.
I find it hard to believe
that they waited till 3:50 this afternoon and 10 minutes ago took a haphazard picture and just don't have a very clear idea of what it said.
I buy it because guy who's recovering from shoulder surgery, MRIs take a long time. And they traveled home last night. I don't think that's as easy as Ha-Seong Kim getting off the plane, going to get an MRI from Petco Park. They probably have to wait for the doctors to get into Petco Park to operate the machine. I don't.
It's too important. I can't. You really think that he got hurt yesterday? He's been home since last night, but they couldn't find anybody to get an MRI of him until about 3:50 this afternoon, and they're just now kind of going over the unclear results of that. I really can't believe that. I don't. I don't believe the Padres, and I don't believe any other team that gives us the same runaround.
An initial diagnosis has been made, but they do not want. They need to wait. Honestly, they probably do have to wait for him to wake up, and then 3 days from now, tell him how his shoulder is.
Okay,
shoulders change every day, Chris.
All right, doctor. All right, Dr. Scraby.
I am. I just went through a shoulder surgery myself.
I'm aware of it. I'm hoping Ha-Seong Kim doesn't have to go through one as well. But as far as what we know, we don't know. Here's one thing we can tell you. The Arizona Diamondbacks lost a key piece today. Ketel Marte is going to the injured list. He was been playing with a sprained left ankle for the last 8 days. But yesterday he re-injured it badly enough in their game at Miami to where he has got to go on the IL.
Wait, who is this? I'm sorry.
Ketel Marte.
Oh, okay.
Pretty important player.
Very important player.
Yes, kind of right. The only guy pushing Shohei Ohtani for NL MVP. That's who it is. He's out for quite a while. So that's bad news for the Diamondbacks. Over the weekend, Tyler Glasnow went on the injured list.
Yeah.
That's bad news for the Dodgers.
I believe it this time.
And if you, yeah, right. And if you want some bad news for the Braves, Austin Riley, how about 2 months for him after breaking his right hand, hit by a 97-mile-per-hour fastball yesterday against the Angels? The Braves have already lost Acuna. They've lost Strider. They've lost Albies. They still have a two-game lead over the Mets for the wild card. It's really quite remarkable when you think of it that way.
If you're the Mets at this point, come on.
But the Braves are hanging in. They're going to have to do it without another stalwart player now, though. So we will see. All right, let's play. What do we got? Chris versus the fans. I'm a little annoyed right now.
I guess so. I didn't just realize
but I was right. And it's just frustrating. Tell us what's the matter. It's not going to change world politics. God.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. You get, sorry, I raised my hand so that I didn't step on you anyway.
My fault.
You can get qualified for the grand prize two-night stay, Resorts World, Las Vegas. Two tickets to Carrie Underwood, Reflection. It's at Resorts World Theater. By overwhelming demand, Carrie Underwood is extending her Las Vegas, Vegas residency called Reflection through spring of 2025. For tickets, either this year or next, go to AXS.com. That's AXS.com. Also available at RWLasVegas.com. Or better yet, win Chris versus the fans, qualify, and be our grand prize winner.
Correct.
There you go.
And I didn't tell you this, Chris, but before the end of the show, we will have some Padres tickets to give away. It's not going to be with this game. You have to stick around because we're going to be giving
tickets
for tomorrow's game against the Twins.
What? When did we get those?
I just checked the thing.
Oh.
The first 40,000 fans will receive a Manny Machado collectible pin. For more information at Padres.com/giveaways. Before the end of the show, we'll get that done.
So we're going to give you some Padre tickets for tomorrow's game.
Later in the show. You have to make it through three questions in this game. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And Chris versus the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. All right.
If you're a first time
player, let us know before you get into the first question, and you will get that for free. Thank you, Chris.
By the way, I think every time you bring somebody on now, you should stop asking them if they're a first-time player. We make the announcement every time. If you can't tell us you're a first-time player on your own, sorry, you just don't get the benefit. I'm serious.
Chris is really upset about
this.
I'm
just in a mood today. I'm in a mood. Blame it on my niece.
I will, actually. I've heard a little bit about it, and I will. All right, let's go to the phones, and we are going to go with Luke. And Luke,
how's it going, Traby?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Yep.
Very smart of Luke. He just asked how you were doing. He didn't ask how I was doing.
We already know how you're doing.
He already knows the answer to that question right now.
You're in a bad mood, we know.
Grumpy Pants
over there.
Yeah, I know.
All right, here we go. Question number one to Luke. Four teams in baseball are tied for the most wins at 73. Name two of the four.
Just two.
Dodgers and who else is really good right now? Royals?
Stay there, Luke. Chris?
I don't even know if the Dodgers is right. I'm going to say the Orioles and Phillies.
Sorry, Luke. Luke. Dodgers was right.
Oh, they were.
It's Phillies, Dodgers, Orioles, Yankees.
Okay. Oh. 73.
Oh, my gosh. Something just hit me. I forgot to put in fair and foul. There was a picture of the Yankees last night with the Little League World Series team, and the caption was, This is as close as Aaron Judge is going to get to a World Series. Fair or foul, Chris?
That's foul.
I think it's fair.
It's not.
All right, here we go.
He's just like every other player who's never been to a World Series yet.
True.
He'll never get there until the day he gets there. And then you'll all say, oh, he can get there.
Yankees hate is fun, though.
It is.
All right, here we go to our next contestant. Let's go to Lance in Temecula. Hello, Lance.
Hey, how are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. Lance. I'm doing well. Go ahead.
Can we all just let Chris win just so he gets in a better mood?
I don't think that would put him in a better mood.
Not going to put me
problem.
In a better mood, Lance.
He's so upset about this Hoss on Kim thing.
I am so upset. I almost rather you guys... I want you guys to win today. That'll make me feel better.
All right.
I'll do my best.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What sport is the movie Million Dollar Baby about?
Boxing.
Boxing is correct. Saw that
Oscar
movie a
winner.
Very long time ago.
Oscar winner, not that good.
Wow. All right. How do you really feel?
No, it's good, but Oscar winner, not that good.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Like, it's not good. Shouldn't have won Best Picture.
Do you know what was up against it?
Don't remember.
Okay, we'll check that later. Okay. Here we go, question number two. Let me start that over.
Wow.
One NFL division had three teams make the playoffs last year. Name that division or the teams.
The AFC North.
Wow. That is correct.
Drilled it.
Ravens, Browns, Steelers.
Isn't that funny that maybe the best team in that division didn't make the playoffs?
The Bengals?
Yeah, they're not the best, but the Bengals are pretty good.
They were. They were in the playoffs the last few years.
Yeah, they didn't make it.
Okay. All right, here we go. Question number three. You get this right. Chris gets it wrong. You qualified for Las Vegas. Let's see. Prior to Atlanta in 2023, which National League team was the last to have five players with 25 or more home runs in a season? I'll repeat that. The Braves did this in 2023, but what was the last team before them, National League team, to have at least five players with 25 or more home runs in a season?
Let's go with the Reds.
Does he have access to the document? Because that is correct.
That is absolutely right.
Wow.
How about that?
Stay right there, Lance. That was pretty incredible.
All right, Lance, for extra credit, name the five guys. No, you don't have
Not
to.
Not a chance.
That. You don't
okay.
have to.
I have them, Chris.
Who are they?
Adam Duvall, Scooter Jeanette, Eugenio Suarez.
Yes.
Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Schebler. In 2017.
I don't think anybody could have named those five. Even a diehard Reds fan couldn't have named that.
I think Scott Schebler would be the guy left off the list.
Be a tough one.
Somewhere Scott Schebler is telling people, I hit more than 25 home runs in a major league season.
Yes, he did. All right, very good, Lance.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was an excellent performance, by the way. So good that I'm even in a good mood now. So, well done by you, Lance. I want to remind everybody, while Scraby will get Lance's info here, this Thursday... It's just a couple of days away. This Thursday, 2:00, Scraby and I will be out there live broadcast, right? You can come see us. We're at Casa Octavio. Here's where to go. The corner of 10th and J. It's like a stone's throw from Petco Park. You can't miss it. If you know where Petco Park is, you'll find 10th and J. Come by at 2:00, actually all afternoon, before Padre Baseball. We'll be broadcasting live. Now, if it's not enough for you to come meet Scraby and I, and honestly, I don't blame you because that's not really a big draw. This is a big draw. We're going to be giving away three pairs of tickets to that night's Padres-Mets game, the Thursday night Padre-Mets game.
Wow.
So in order to get those tickets... You're going to want to come by and visit us this Thursday. Our live broadcast, it's at Casa Octavio on the corner of 10th and J. It begins at 2:00. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Tony Gwynn Jr., of course, will be on the show, but he'll be up in the press box getting ready. But we're going to all be there. 97.3 The Fan's going to be there. You need to be there.
Yep.
What day is it, Scraby?
Thank goodness you said Thursday, because... I was almost positive it was Friday, and it is Thursday.
Yes, it is.
So, Thursday, 2 p.m., Casa Octavia.
We're going to all show up there Thursday. Scraby will come dawdling in on Friday.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know where I've been.
Yeah, Thursday. This Thursday, 2 o'clock, circle it on the phone. Type it into your app do you use for that?
Scrape? Oh, I'm a Google guy. Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Yeah.
No, that's how you put your calendar in the Google Maps.
Oh, I thought you meant directions.
No, not how to get there.
Calendar. I put it. Yeah, Google
Calendar.
Where do
calendar, you put it? Google
it
Calendar
matches up with our Gmail for work.
Google Calendar. Get your Google Calendar out. I still write stuff down in a book. Believe it or not, at home. I have a
believe it or not is not believe it is the part.
You believe it?
Yes, of course.
You believe it? I have one of those
planner
desk calendar planner things.
You got one of those big things, and then you
not
tear
that big.
Off the big sheet.
It's not quite that big, but yes, it's a booklet, and it has squares for the days of the month, and I write what I have to do in there with a pen, an actual pen I use. If you can believe it,
I do believe it. We're having major controversy on the chat. This is why I'm kind of disengaged.
Oh, what's
right
happened
now.
Here?
The first caller who was naming the teams that have 73 wins
yes.
said the Dodgers and the Royals, right?
Yeah.
Okay, a lot of people heard Orioles,
oh,
and
no.
It made me freak out.
No, he said Royals.
Yeah, I thought it was Royals.
Yeah, no controversy.
But anyway, Thursday, Casa Octavio.
2 o'clock.
Come on down.
Yeah, come on down. Make sure you say hi. We'll hang out. We'll have some fun. We'll eat some food. We'll drink some sodas. I'll drink some sodas. Scraby will drink sodas.
Yeah.
You guys may
actually,
drink.
Actually, I'll drink iced tea.
Some other things. But we're going to be there before the Padre-Met game Thursday, and then we're giving a tickets away to the game.
Yes.
That's Thursday. Where is it, Scraby?
It is southwest
attention.
Corner of 10th and J.
Thank you. 10th and J. Mm-hmm. Everybody better be there Thursday. We're going to check some traffic now. When we come back, NFL news and notes. New oats. And a big five. It's all coming up on Gwen and Chris. Just two.
Dodgers. Royals.
Stay there, Luke. Chris?
I don't even know if the Dodgers is right. I'm going to say the Orioles. And...
Wait. Sorry, I was trying to stop that the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he said Royals, everybody.
Here we go.
I think
here
I heard
go.
It. I mean...
Royals.
He said Royals. It was wrong. Sorry about that. Luke, you got it wrong. It happens. Life goes on.
And there was no protesting from Luke either.
Huh?
There was no protesting from Luke. If
right.
he said Orioles, there would have been a protest.
He might have protested a little bit. Yeah, I agree.
The chat is just trying to get my goat right now.
The chat's
now.
Trying to bug you. You know what I actually heard there?
What?
If you play it backwards, it says Paul is dead.
Oh, like the Beatles?
The Beatles album, yeah. If you play that, what Luke said backwards, it'll say Paul is
okay,
dead.
Okay, let's try it.
Sounds like
see,
Paul
Royals.
Is dead.
I heard Royals, too.
I heard Paul is dead. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. 425 is the time. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. coming back for the Big Five here shortly. Mr. Scraby is running the show here and running it off the rails, as always. Adrian Del Castillo just hit a grand slam. He plays for the Diamondbacks, unfortunately. Nick Fortes has come back with a solo shot. Bottom of the third, Arizona 4, Miami 1 on the baseball scoreboard there for you. You know who? Should I bring this up?
I don't know what you're about to bring
up. I know.
Up. You asked me, should I bring it up? It makes me nervous.
I said I was going to do some NFL news and notes.
What are you going to bring up?
And I know we're going to talk about Tua and the Big Five, so
oh,
I'm going to
yes.
leave that for you.
Yes.
The Commanders have named Jaden Daniels officially their starting quarterback.
Uh-huh.
That's not a surprise.
No.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling out, injured Buffalo.
Shocker.
Buffalo's having major receiver issues.
Yeah, they traded their best one.
Their best two. They traded Diggs and Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is not there either.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Let's see. What else? All right. So here's the other story in football. And this is an unfortunate story because all NFL players get grouped in here, and it's totally not fair.
Oh, I know which story you're going with.
Former player, and it doesn't even matter his name because I've never heard of the
guy.
I've
never heard of him either. When they say former NFLer, I always think, oh, it's going to be someone I know, and then some guy who played for like three plays.
It's going to be, you know, Garrison Hurst or something.
Hey, you leave Garrison Hurst out of this.
The guy's name is Gosder Cherilus. He played with the Lions, and he was a first-round pick. So, you know, at some point he came walking out on the stage and everybody applauded this guy as one of the great guys in football history.
He hugged Goodell.
Yeah, everything happened. Apparently this guy, Mr. Cherilus, was on an airplane flight near Boston. Or no, he's from near Boston. Where was he flying to? He was flying from Boston to...
Oh, yeah, he was flying overseas. Ireland,
Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah. Well, I've done that same flight. It's a long one.
Well, he almost didn't make it, because if they could have stopped, I'm pretty sure they would have.
I don't think they made it.
The judge basically said, it's pretty egregious what you did as alleged. Here's what was alleged. He appeared drunk when he got on the plane.
Been there.
He allegedly argued with the flight crew about his seat.
Have not been there.
And an hour into the flight, decided to, I know no better way to say this, urinate on an elderly passenger. He then hit another passenger.
Oh, man.
And took that passenger's seat, and then he passed out.
I'm not laughing at the people that are being hit. I'm laughing at the passing out part.
After all of that other stuff, he said that he took a sleeping medication that he normally doesn't use, and that resulted in behavior that is not representative of his character.
I'm going to give everybody a tip. If you've never used the medication before and you're worried about something bad happening, don't do it on a flight to Dublin from Boston, because you don't want that reaction. They had to return home to Boston.
Are you buying this excuse from him?
No.
No. I'm not either.
I'm buying that he drank a bunch, got on the plane, and also took a sleeping pill.
Yes.
And it mixed bad.
There you go.
Because I could, like, although I've never urinated on a passenger before, like, sleeping pills make people do weird stuff all the time. All the time.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can all learn our lesson from this story. But, God, what is going on in this world?
You know, we had a, on the plane yesterday or on the way up, I can't remember which one it was. You know how they do that thing where they say everybody needs to sit down and then... You know, they turn on the seatbelt. Well, we were taking off, and as soon as we left the ground, some dude gets up and starts going to the bathroom. And the people are on the intercom like, hey, you can't get up right now because we're taking off. And the guy didn't care. Just kept going to the bathroom. They had to go put him back in his seat. What goes through someone's mind?
What goes through the mind?
And I understand if he had to go to the bathroom, he could have said that, but he didn't. He just ignored the people.
I don't know what goes through the mind of the guy that when I'm waiting in the line for the, the little ticker light on to get on the freeway.
Oh, the metering light.
The metering light. And the guy, the diamond lane is empty next to me because there are no people with two passengers in the car. And so Joe Blowhard, who's alone in his car.
Joe Criminal, we'll call him.
Yeah, just drives right up the diamond lane. I know it's not a big deal.
It's not, but it
is. I don't get what goes through your mind.
Because
like,
I don't
do
it.
How do you just go do that and just go, this doesn't apply to me.
We have
doesn't apply
rules
to me.
For a reason. It keeps our society in check. I don't understand that either. And I always love it when I see someone getting pulled over.
Oh, we all love to see that person get nailed. But it happens too infrequently.
It does. Like when I used
we
to live...
love it when the cop is standing at the top of the hill waiting for the person driving alone to use the diamond lane. We love this. We actually would like to get out of our car and dance and sing and applaud, but then we'd probably get pulled over too.
Would too. When
that's the whole thing with me, Scrape. It's the same thing with you. I don't even go, like, how is that a thought process? You know what? That doesn't apply to me. I'll just go ahead and do it. I don't even get the thinking. Somebody in the chat who's like a cheating person and just does whatever the hell they want to do, explain to me what goes through the person's mind who just gets in the diamond lane because they can.
I can't explain
it. Like, I don't get it. Like, do those people stop at red lights?
I would
like
hope
you don't
so.
Have to. You I don't have
so.
To.
I would hope so. You know,
don't
those,
have to.
I wonder if those
it's
people.
It's certainly suggested.
I think. I wonder if those people are those sovereign citizens that say that they're not bound to the rules of the United States because they're a sovereign citizen. Have you ever seen this before? They won't give driver's license. They won't give registration. They don't have to follow any rules because they're a sovereign citizen.
Okay.
Man, we've been ranting
goodness,
a lot.
Have we been
I feel
going.
Good.
Did anybody tell you what happened to Hassan Kim? Did we get a report on him yet?
I'm not going back there. Not going back there.
He's not playing tonight. If you just joined us, that's pretty much all we know. 4:32 is the time. Padres pregame. Scraby's got it at 5:30.
Yep.
Everybody tune in and listen to the game tonight. Sammy Leavitt is calling his first major league ball game. You have to tune in for some of that. All right, it's all coming up, and next is the Big Five with Tony and me and Scraby and everybody. All right, we got to get to today's Big Five. There's a lot to do. Got traffic, then Scraby gets us going on a whole bunch of stuff.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, happy to be back for the Big Five. And we're going to get right into it with Brian Hoeing, because Brian Hoeing is quickly becoming one of my favorite Padres. And he was actually
number five
on MLB Network Radio on Saturday. And he was asked by the host what his experience has been since he has been traded to the Padres. And here is what he said.
You know, a new environment. Obviously, you want to come out there and show that, you know, the trade with your worth in the trade. And just show that your new teammates that, you know, they can trust me when I come in into the game on the mound, that I'm going to come in there in any situation and just, you know, give my best effort, try to get some outs for the team and help the team win. Also, you know, playing at Petco Park, you know, it's basically a sellout crowd every single game. So I think the fans cheering behind you has definitely added to some adrenaline on the mound, which obviously makes your stuff play a little bit better, and just having that fan support there during the games. And most importantly, I think the defense behind me too. There's been in my nine innings with the Padres so far. I mean, I can count, you know, six or seven, eight good plays that the defense has made that has really helped me out, you know, to get through to some innings there.
All right, that was Brian Hoeing on MLB Network Radio on Saturday. You can see that it sounds like he has had a great time playing here in San Diego so far. But Chris, where does Brian Hoeing rank in the Padres bullpen right now for you?
Well, first of all, he ranks number one on my list of mayoral candidates for the Padres. He's trying to get votes everywhere he goes. I mean, he's giving applause to the organization for bringing him in. He's giving applause to the fans for filling up the ballpark. And he's giving applause to all of his teammates for making great plays behind him. So if he runs for office, he's going to be in good shape. As far as where he ranks in the bullpen right now, I mean, I don't really know that the ranking matters per se. You know, I mean, I know everybody wants to do, there's a number one guy and a number two guy. I think he's the number one guy for the situation that he's needed, which is kind of anything, a Swiss Army knife type of guy. You know, I would think if everyone was down, or, you know, they'd already used a couple guy, I wouldn't think Mike Schill would hesitate to bring him in the ninth inning with a one-run lead, if that's just how it had to happen one time. He's pitched that well. So, yeah, I don't know what his ranking is, but I think he's, you know, right now, incredibly reliable.
Tony, where's Brian Hoeing rank in the Padres bullpen right now for you?
Yeah, I think Chris's answer is kind of spot on. Like, I don't know that this bullpen outside of Suarez, who we know is the closer, I don't know that anybody else has a spot. We've seen Scott set up. We've seen Adam set up. We've seen a slew of different guys do the seventh inning or the sixth inning. And so I think it's just the situation, the matchup, and it's a great problem for Mike Shield and Ruben Niebla to have, that they can look down that bullpen and feel pretty good about all of them. But Brian Hoeing is, I think Chris hit it on the head, like Swiss Army knife. You can kind of use him in any of those spots, and he's shown that whether it's being the swingman spot or the setup spot or whatever it is, he's shown the ability to go out and get outs.
Number four.
Yesterday, the San Francisco Giants played their final games at O.co Coliseum this weekend, and Mark Canha even scooped up some dirt from home plate after the game to commemorate the occasion. I say that to bring this up. Saturday night, the local news station up there had a full-on 30-minute Raider pregame show in the Bay Area, even after they left. Obviously, there's still interest there. Now, I was told many times from family members over the weekend, they're done with the A's, and they're not going to be following the A's to Oakland. However, Raiders fans have followed out of Oakland. Raiders fans have followed the team to Las Vegas. Tony, do you think A's fans would follow the team wherever they go?
Who followed what? What's
the A's? Do you think the A's fans will follow them?
Before that, what was the example?
He's saying that the Raider fans have followed them to Vegas because they have a radio show,
a post-game show or TV show in
Oakland.
Yes.
Oh, okay. First of all, the Raiders brand is not the same as the A's brand. Raiders are in that Cowboys, like, cross-the-nation type deal. You find Raider fans everywhere. So I don't think you can necessarily, you know, compare the two. I for one, don't think the A's will be able to take too many Oakland fans away. I mean, they have had a long history of, at this point, of pissing off that fan base. So if they get a couple, that would make sense. But I don't think they're going to have a large fan base of Oaklanders that decide to go with the team, where they end up, whether they end up in Vegas or not. I think that bridge it's kind of been burned.
Yeah. Chris, do you think A's fans would follow the team wherever they go?
Well, first I want to comment on the Raiders having a pre- and post-game show in Oakland for the Las Vegas football team now. That's nice, and it's all well and good. But we in San Diego still carry just about every Charger game.
But we don't have a dedicated pre- and post-game show, do we?
We have postseason coverage. We have, if you go on the right channel, I've run into it myself. Surfing channels. I've seen weekly Charger talk shows that air here in San Diego. I immediately moved past them. The fact that the Chargers are shoved down our throat in San Diego has kept a few people following the team, but I don't think that San Diego in any way, shape, or form has followed the Chargers to L.A. So I don't think that just because they're putting together a little show there a couple of years after the Raiders have left, that the fans of Oakland are truly following the Raiders to Las Vegas. That said, nobody's following the A's to Sacramento.
Thank you.
Absolutely no one, I don't think.
I mean, yes. I mean, Sacramento's not too far away, though.
Yeah, right. I mean, people could go to a game. It's a couple of hours away, hour and 45, but I can't see it.
All right.
Number three.
Chris is really upset by this Raiders show.
They don't even show up to the A's games in Oakland. Why are they going to go show up to an A's game in Sacramento? What would they do that for?
My uncle said he just bought tickets because it's been fun to go to games with no one there, which is kind of true. Okay. The Dan Le Batard show had a sit-down with Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and he was asked, Tua was, what the biggest difference between his former coach Brian Flores and his current coach Mike McDaniel is, and Tua did not hold back.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
That was Tua with the Dan Le Batard Show. And I could ask you, is Tua soft? I could ask you, should Brian Flores get another job? But I'm going to ask you this, Chris. What's the end game for Tua here?
The end game for what? What he said today?
Yeah, I mean, why did he feel the need to bring this up?
Why did he feel the need to bring this up?
Because he could have just said, you know, I feel like Mike McDaniel is a coach that's better suited for my skills.
Mm. Well, I don't know. First of all, I'm not going to say he's soft.
I didn't ask
but
that.
But I just want to comment. Okay. I want to comment on what I heard there. And I read earlier. You know, I want to comment on it. I don't think he's necessarily soft, but what I wanted to point out is we had a situation in here in San Diego with the Wave not too long ago where an employee felt like they were treated terrible by an employer who, you know, just, you know, actually returned the favor and filed a lawsuit against the person who blamed. My point is, I think a lot of things can be true here. Brian Flores might have been tough on Tua, and maybe Tua didn't appreciate a coach who was tough on him. But I think that is, unfortunately, become the way of a lot of younger athletes nowadays. I think they need to be coddled a little bit more than athletes used to be, and that's a general statement. It doesn't apply to everyone. So having said that, I mean, look, I have a lot of people who write me on Twitter all the time, tell me how terrible I am at this job.
Sorry.
I hear it all the time. So maybe I shouldn't give it, but I think you gotta have a thick skin, especially if you're gonna be the quarterback in the National Football League. So I'm happy for Tua that Mike McDaniel's been so supportive. I think that's a lot of the reason why he's been more productive. And I think his end game here was trying to explain to people why it took him so long to be as good as he's been lately.
I like that. Tony, what is the end game for Tua here?
This is going to be one of those shows today where I feel like Chris is like in my head in terms of these answers. That's as good as I think you can say it. I was going to say almost the exact same thing, that, you know, certain guys adapt, or not even adapt, are just better suited for certain coaches and certain styles of coaches. I think the key thing in that thing was he said, if I can put it in the simplest terms, the problem with that is when you're being coached up, I don't know that you can just put it in simplest terms and explain, you know, how that actually went. Because it virtually sounded like he told him he sucked and he didn't belong there. But that was in the simplest terms, right? So how that was being relayed in real time, I don't know that that's the explanation that gives us a great understanding of exactly what happened. I think that was just kind of in order to keep it short. he had to choose those words. But I think Chris is right. I think we are, and I give you an example. Earlier in the season, baseball season, Ron Washington went off on, I think it was Guillerme, for not getting a bunt down.
Yeah,
late
remember
in
that
game. And he aired him out publicly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I going across this country to go to different stadiums, I ran into a couple former players. I won't mention who they are, but they felt like in the time that was the wrong way to go about it. Now, these guys came up a little bit after I did it, but it was around the same time. And I, in my mind, I'm like, that is, you know, to each his own, right? Like, they felt like that was unnecessary to go public, but my feeling was I'm pretty sure Ron Washington didn't just wait till he probably said that to the guy's face as well. And that's just an old school way of coaching.
And an old school way of accepting that coaching, I must say, is if a coach aired me out honestly and said, you should get the bunt down, and I was asked about it, I'd probably say, yeah, I should get the bunt down.
Yeah.
But in this day and age, I think a lot of people say, how dare he say something publicly about me? So right. I think there's a difference.
And so I think that is, you know, there are many styles of coaching. And not everybody thrives in a ultra-positive environment. You know, some people need the kick in the rear end, if you will, to kind of get you going. You know, it seems like a guy like Tom Brady thrived in that kind of environment. And so, you know, I think, you know, that's, I think Chris is right. This is kind of how it goes in today's day and age.
I have a theory that the reason we're quote-unquote soft these days is because we get criticism from every angle. It doesn't matter
no
where
doubt.
We go. We it, have criticism in our face.
It's a different level of criticism in 2024 than there ever was for all of us. Really.
Did I mention today, Scraby, that you really could be a little better. What you did.
Sorry. Thank you for delivering that carefully, because you know how I take those things. I'm very sensitive.
Yes, you are, Tua.
Hey, he's your quarterback.
I know.
With flag football set to make its 2028 Olympic debut, many NFL players are saying they want to play, but there is at least one flag football player who wants to let the NFL players know they're just going to get a spot on the team, in his mind. Daryl Hoosh Doucette, who is the Team USA quarterback, said to The Athletic, "I think it's disrespectful that they just automatically assume that they're able to just join the Olympic team because of the person that they are. They didn't help grow this game to get to the Olympics. Give the guys who helped this game get to where it's at their respect." So, who's up? Tony's up. Do you agree with him, Tony?
I think I kind of do.
Yes!
In a small way. I mean, I think there is something to be said about all the people who have been playing this game that got it on the map, that, you know, got it to this point. Like, I can totally understand that kind of the feeling that this I don't know if he's a young man or what, but this man has.
Hoosh.
I see it. Now, then there's the other side of the coin, which is, at the end of the day, how much are you going to value those that brought in, that kept this game alive or brought this game to the forefront versus what you know America loves to do more than anything?
Win.
Win. And if, you know, you're gonna prove the fact that, you know, you're gonna be able to help do that, then absolutely. But I do think regardless, there should be some consideration for the guys that certainly help get the game there. Does that mean they need to play in every match or game that they have when come Olympics? I don't know. But just based on what we know about USA Olympics and how we move, this might be an uphill battle for him.
I mean, Tony, the comments are all saying that same thing. Like, yeah, we don't want to lose. We want to actually win this thing.
I mean, I'm not even mad at that.
I know.
That opinion. Because, I mean, I don't know. Would we all be okay with a flag football team showing up that isn't our best?
I don't really care, to be honest.
Okay. Then,
I mean, I want to win. Tell people. I want to win, but I also want Hoosh to be on the team because Hoosh...
I kind of do, too.
Well, maybe he'll make the team.
I don't know if it's going to go his way, though.
Yeah, I don't think every guy who's, like, playing right now should make it, but Hoosh definitely should for some reason in my mind. Chris, do you agree with Hoosh?
I agree with Hoosh, but Hoosh is not going to be playing. And here's the thing.
Poor Hoosh.
Yeah, Jason Tatum was hardly even playing for the United States basketball team. He's one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. But Steve Kerr deemed that in order to win the gold medal, it was best to have Jason Tatum sitting out. I'm pretty sure that whoever the coach of the football team is, whether it's Manning or whoever it is going to love Hoosh's story. But when they get a chance to put, you know,
Patrick Mahomes
in at quarterback, it's going to be pretty tough for Hoosh to see some playing time. So this is a wonderful thing. You know, it's a wonderful notion. But as Tony said, and you agreed, we gotta have the gold medal. Because what would happen if we didn't get a gold medal?
That's not true. You cheered actively against Team USA basketball to lose.
I don't share that.
Treasoner.
I don't share that. I know. I don't share the thing that we have to win a gold medal at every single thing. I like it. But it's, you know, to me it's not the end all, but to the U.S.
Just
people who run this
random
stuff, it is.
Off base question: which sports do you deem that we do have to get the gold medal in?
Archery. I don't know. There's none.
Breaking.
There's none that I feel we have to get it.
I would say swimming, track and field, skateboarding.
I just feel like if we had like a, let's say a three Olympic run where we weren't meddling. You know damn well.
Like in basketball or something?
No, like in everything. Like we just...
Oh, like we lost out to China and France and everybody came in like third or fourth?
Like, you know, Like, we're just happy to be there, right?
Put us in our place. That's
for
what we
like,
deserve.
For, like, four Olympics, we didn't finish, like, on the leaderboard where you could see us.
When I grew up, we didn't finish on the leaderboard. I must tell you, the USSR and Germany used to whip our butt, and I thought the Olympics were still cool. It's okay with me.
I haven't grown up in that era.
It all makes USSR sense. Whipped us badly
Chris
in the Olympic
medals. Chris is a fan
medals.
Of the Soviets.
There you go.
We've had this guy. You've been a treasonous this whole time.
I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, my friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Number one.
FBI's on their way, I think.
I know. The lockdown.
All right, so at the Chargers' home game against the Rams over the weekend, there was something that happened on the video board that caught everyone's attention. A guy in a Rams jersey and his quote-unquote girlfriend were shown on the kiss cam, and he ended up getting up to propose. While he was proposing, a fan with nachos tripped and spilled the nachos all over the guy proposing on the big screen. People thought this was fake, and it was fake. The Chargers seemingly set this up. How do we know? A Rams beat reporter tweeted out that she saw the rehearsal of this before the game and knew it was fake all along. Man. So I switched my attention to the woman last year at a Chargers game who was cheering like no fan actually cheers, and I maintained it was a setup. Chris, is it kind of weird that the Chargers... I'm just going to ask you. Do you now believe that was a setup?
Last year's thing was a setup. Everybody said last year's thing wasn't a setup. That's all I can go with on that. It did look kind of set up to me. But since everybody said it wasn't, I have nothing to prove otherwise. But this particular incident, you got to be kidding me. This is the Charger. Was it the Chargers' home game?
I believe so.
Saturday night?
Let me just double check.
They actually went out of their way to try and entertain the fan base by having a fake proposal and a guy dump nachos on the proposer.
They were, quote-unquote, the home team.
Yeah. I don't know. Who does this kind of stuff? I don't get it. I'm lost. I'm completely lost. I am so flabbergasted that this comes out to be a fake. Oh, my goodness. What won't they do nowadays?
Exactly.
Tony? I don't get it. The Chargers are... If they're not the worst organization in sports, they're just, in so many different ways, they just boggle my mind, and this is another one.
So wait, this wasn't the Rams, this was the Chargers?
The Chargers
did
that,
right? Yeah, the guy was in a Rams jersey, so the Chargers...
Oh, I see. So the Chargers are ripped. I see. So they weren't trying to entertain us, they were trying to rip the opponent.
Oh, I think they were trying to create a viral moment.
This was their way of ripping their opponent by saying, look at the Ram fan proposing, and we dumped nacho cheese on him.
Yeah.
The Chargers are so stupid. I can't even fathom it just being any dumber than that.
Tony, I don't even know where to go with it because I want to ask everything, but do you think last year was a setup now that this was proven a setup?
No, you're still wrong on this. That wasn't a setup. This sounds like it was a setup, and it's pretty stupid. I don't even understand it, honestly. Like, what is the point of... by the way, dogging the team that you're paying rent to be there.
That's true.
Like, what kind of that's like disrespecting the landlord. Like, so you can get evicted. I don't understand it. It's just, it's a very Charger-y move.
It's so childish.
It's almost like
man.
They just try too hard sometimes.
That's what it is. They do try too hard. All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, we're going to get you set for this important series between the Padres and the Twins on 97.3 The Fan.